Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
Today we are going to be considering the curse of man. I'd like us to read Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 to 25. The curse of man, that is the curse that comes from man, a fellow human being, placing a curse on another human being. Genesis 9, 20 to 25. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japhet took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." The curse of man. We have seen God curse in Genesis chapter 3 and in Genesis chapter 4. Now in Genesis chapter 9, we are seeing man bringing a curse. Now, after Noah had landed safely out of the ark, the Bible said he planted a vineyard. And from the fruit of his vineyard, he got wine. One of these days he drank the wine and got drunk. And of course, when you are drunk, you lose control of yourself. You lose control of normal coordination. So Noah was naked right inside his room. Don't know what Ham was looking for, but he got to see his father's nakedness. And he went and told his brothers. Now, reading in between the lines, you will understand that it wasn't that Ham saw the father's nakedness and was shocked and felt pity for his father. And then he went to see what he can do in order to cover the nakedness of his father. But if you read in between the lines, my mind tells me that Ham saw it and felt this man has disgraced himself once again. Maybe he has been telling his brothers before that the way this our father is going about with drink, I don't like it. And they will always say to him, "Keep quiet." And so this was a great opportunity for him to prove to them that Papa has always been drinking. And maybe because he's the youngest son, Papa doesn't want to listen to him. So now come and see what he has brought on himself. In the heart of Ham, that nakedness, as a result of the drunkenness of his father, is, it serves you right. At least now, you will control yourself. So he went to his brothers and said, "Come and see your father, what he has become." So when he told them, rather than them come to see and also laugh, they took clothes. And the Bible said they went backwardly. They didn't want to use their eyes to behold the nakedness of their father. So that tells me that that's actually supposed to be the attitude Ham was supposed to take. That's the position he should have taken first. Cover the nakedness, and then we can talk about it. But he went and talked to them, and scripture here didn't mention that while they were going to cover the nakedness, Ham was amongst them. He didn't follow. So he just went to say, go and see your father. He has disgraced himself again. And then he went about his normal work. So when Noah woke out of his drunkenness, got himself, he placed a cost on him. And the cost actually stood. You know, Canaan is the promised land. The land God promised to Israelites. But if you read the story very well, the Canaanites were driven out of that land and the land given over to Israelites. Praise God. Imagine a land flowing with milk and honey, the best you can have, and a total stranger is coming to drive you away from your land. There's nothing you can do about it. That's the manifestation of the curse. A slave of slaves shall it be. NIV said the lowest of slaves will it be to his brothers. Praise God. The lowest of slaves. So Canaan lost it from the curse. Now this means that God reckons with and believes in the curse of man. God recognizes when men who are in the place of authority, who are in position to curse, God recognizes it when they actually curse. Like I told us in 2 Kings, how Elijah cursed for the two children and they all died. So God recognizes that place, that authority. Remember how Jesus cursed a fig tree in Mark chapter 11. He said, no man eat fruit of thee anymore. At that point in time, Jesus was operating 100% as a man. So he cursed the fig tree. And in 24 hours, the fig tree began to wither. So, the curse of man is as real as the curse of God. But we are going to try to digest the curse of man by dividing it in two. So we're going to look at it as the curse of parents. Our parents are human beings, spiritual parents and natural parents. The curse of man emanating from either a biological father or mother, a biological father-in-law, mother-in-law, or a spiritual father, pastor, or your prophet. So let's look at the curse of the parents. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 to 3, Genesis chapter 27 verse 1 to 3, Exodus chapter 21 verse 17. We'll read those scriptures. Ephesians is in the New Testament. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. This passage quickly opens us to two kinds of parenting. First, in verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Spiritual parents. So everyone is going to have natural parents and will also have spiritual parents. And the injunction of God is that children, obey. You owe obedience to your spiritual father. You hold them obedient. Obey them. He said, for this is right. It's the right thing to do. You see, if God says something is right, you can't afford to do otherwise. Because anything outside this is wrong. Verse 2. He said, what you owe to your biological parents is what? Honor. To honor is to esteem high. To honor is to place value on. To honor means to carry with respect. So God said, children, place value on your parents, your biological parents, whether illiterate or educated, tall or short, rich or poor, their color notwithstanding, their status in society notwithstanding. If she is your mother, if he is your father, you owe them honor. Now, whether it's a witch or a witchcraft, first and foremost, you owe them honor. And the Bible says that this is the first commandment with a promise. Now, this is the first commandment with a promise. If you read Exodus 20, of all the commandments God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai, this was the only commandment that had a promise attached to it. Praise God. Verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now that's the promise. That it may be well with you, that you may prosper. So it means that honoring father and mother as a way of triggering off progress and prosperity. And when you dishonor your father and your mother, you are invariably calling for hardship, for struggles. Praise God. Now, pastor, does it mean that everyone who is struggling now dishonored father and mother? No. But some persons struggle are attached to it. Genesis 27, verse 1 to 3. Genesis 27, verse 1 to 3. We are talking about the curse of parents. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. He said, behold, now I am old and I know not the day of my death. Verse 12. My father peradventure will fail me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Praise God. Now, Jacob is talking here. So we know that the curse of fathers or the curse of parents is an age-long thing. It's not a New Testament doctrine. Jacob knew that deceiving his father could provoke a curse. And so he was preaching to his mother and said, this thing you are asking me to do will tantamount to a curse. It will result in a curse rather than a blessing. Praise God. So, parents can curse. In fact, they reserve the right to curse. Exodus 21 and verse 17. Exodus 21 and verse 17. And he that curseth his father and his mother shall surely be put to death. Certainty. Conclusion. He that dishonored, he that cursed his father and his mother shall surely be put to death. Now, this is how serious honor and respect to parents can be. That in the Old Testament, it was a capital offense to dishonor your parents. It was a capital offense. Just like somebody killing somebody today. They say it's a capital offense. It results to death. So cursing and dishonoring parents was a capital offense. And laws may change, but God's views about things don't change. Praise God. I say that again. Laws may change, but the view of God about things don't change. That's why the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. The standards of God, his view. If God views children dishonoring their parents as serious as this that time. He still views it the same way this time. Because we have children who beat up their parents now. We have children who fight their parents. We have children who stand up to their parents. Your father talk, you talk. Your mother talk, you talk. And somewhere inside of you, you feel you have a right. Civilization hasn't helped us at all in that respect. Because this theory of equality has taken away honor and respect from the heart of people. So every child of God, every believer must understand that we don't live our life by the dictates of our national constitution. But our life is lived based on the instructions of God. So that you don't begin to say it is allowed in our nation. That a nation allows it doesn't make it good. So, anyone who curses his father is murder. Who dishonors his father is murder. The Bible says shall surely be put to death. Now, God is here demonstrating support for the cause of parents. Our natural parents, they occupy a very sensitive place in our destiny. Destiny is simply a destination. Destiny is where you are going. Destiny means where you will arrive, your expected end. And our natural parents, they play a vital role. Genesis 49, verse 1 and verse 2. The role of parents in destiny. And Jacob called his sons and said, gather around. I want to tell you what you can expect in the days to come. Praise God. Now Jacob was about to die here, and he called his sons. He said, I want to tell you what your future will look like. In verse 2, he began from the first of them. He said, come together, listen, sons of Jacob, listen to Israel, your father. Amen. He said, you are the sons of Jacob, but it is Israel that is talking to you now. Now, Jacob is trying to invoke a spiritual position of the father now. So when he said, listen to me, sons of Jacob, listen to Israel, he's telling them, I am the Jacob you know, but what I am about to do right now, I am taking my spiritual position as a father over you. So you listen to your father Israel. And then he began in verse 3 and talked about Reuben. If you read verse 4, verse 5, one after the other. And everything Jacob said concerning all of them, one after the other, became the primary description for all of them. Their lives, their future. So parents, our natural parents, hold a vital role in our destiny. And there are people today in the kingdom of God that are being tormented. They have become victims. They have been tortured. Because they have despised their parents. Now the scripture specifies two kinds of parents in Ephesians chapter 6. Spiritual parents and natural parents. Now when the Bible says obey your parents in the Lord, the Bible is talking about spiritual parents here. And when it says honor your father and your mother, it's referring to natural parents. And I'm sure that there are many persons who need to say I'm sorry to their parents. Whether your direct parents or your parents-in-laws. And you must mean it from your heart. Then such people will begin to see certain level of freshness and refreshing in their lives. Your natural parents are very relevant in the covenant. They are relevant to your Christianity. They are relevant to how far you can go in life. So that's why some people will do everything possible to get their parents' consent for anything they want to do. Because what a father or a mother says will go very far in his children's life. Noah caused Ham, and he caused the children of Ham also. The truth is that, was Noah right? No, Noah wasn't right. He got drunk. He uncovered himself. It wasn't the boy that stripped him of his clothes. Yet, the cause stood. Because the boy took a position that warranted that cause. We have said earlier in this teaching that a causeless cause shall not come. But when you take a position that makes it easy for a cause to come, of course, there is nothing that can be done. Noah placed a curse on him, and the curse too, because the scriptures cannot be broken. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20 will re-echo what Exodus 21, verse 17 says. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Lamp is actually that which provides you light. Lamp here can represent life. Lamp here can represent progress. And they say anyone that dishonored father and mother is light, is lamp, is future, is life, shall be removed in obscure darkness. It is only in darkness that we need lamp. But when your lamp is taken away in darkness, it means you have been rendered useless. You have been rendered immobile. Take note of it. He said, the lamp will not be taken away in the broad daylight. It will be taken away in obscure darkness. In other words, when you need it the most, that is when you are going to lack. So, you know, sometimes you can slap your father and slap your mother, and you just leave that same day and get a job. A very good paying job. But you just slapped your father. And it may not mean anything to you. But as soon as you begin to earn your first salary, 1 million a month, troubles begin to set in. So every time you earn, you spend. Every time you earn, you spend. That is taking away your lamp in darkness. When you need it, you can't have it. And some persons can continue in that kind of vicious cycle for a long, long time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God has placed a heavy covenant stamp on your covenant relationship with your parents. The relationship with our parents should be a covenant relationship. You see, you didn't choose your parents, neither did they choose you. Praise God. When they were asking for children, they didn't describe how you should look like. So we didn't choose them, they didn't choose us. So our relationship is completely based on covenant. I don't know this person from Adam. I was just sent to him. And God said, this is the person that will father and mother you. This is the womb through whom I have decided to bring you to the earth. So, our relationship with our parents is like that. Should be covenant based. It has nothing to do with what they have, what they don't have, what they can offer, and what they can't offer. It has nothing to do with where they are living. A relationship with our parents is covenant. God has entrusted me in their hands, and I am just going to stay there and be for them what every child should be, as ordained by God. It is good for you to get into relationship with your parents and operate it the way God wants it. In the book of 2 Samuel chapter 18 verse 9, can we look at that scripture? Absalom went wild in rebellion against his own father. He was undertaking a suicidal mission and ended up being destroyed. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mole, and the mole went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mole that was under him went away. Praise God. So you can imagine somebody riding a horse, and then right under the tree, his long hair got cut off with one of the branches of the tree. And the horse went, not knowing that the rider is already hanging like a piece of material on the tree. And that's how Absalom died. Suicide that was involuntary. Praise God. Because he rebelled against his father. Absalom was one of the most handsome in Israel. He was very handsome. The scripture said that he was described as beautiful. He had long hairs like a woman. At a point, he started asking the people to forget his father, that his father was old and would not be able to offer them the kind of leadership that they want. So he divided the heart of the people against his father. As if that was not enough, he planned a coup, serious coup. He planned it and got his father running. The father ran away from the palace. Absalom is excited. I'm going to dethrone this man and take over. He has refused to die so that I can take over. So let me just get the thing by hook or by crook. But Absalom ended up dying. Why did he die? The reason is simple. Scripture says, he that cursed father and mother, his lamp shall be put out. Even Matthew chapter 15 verse 4 echoes it. Matthew 15 verse 4. So that you won't say it's an Old Testament thing. Matthew 15 and verse 4. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother. And anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Praise God. Now, this was Jesus talking. He said, God even said it, that you should honor your father and your mother, and that anyone who curses his father and his mother shall be put to death. You know, he was reprimanding the Pharisees. And he said to them in the next verse, but you see that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, is not to honor his father with it, thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. He said, you hypocrite, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. Praise God. And that's the thing that is happening today, that our traditions, our sentiments, our laws, our constitution, our big brother nations that claim to be Western and educated, they are beginning to indoctrinate us, to tell us that all of this thing is not like that. So that's why in America, almost every other week, 17-year-old boy will take a gun, enter the class, and begin to shoot both at the teachers and fellow students. Because everyone has been told that we are all human beings, we have equal rights. You don't spank your child. You don't shout at your child. Praise God. But if you are a child of God, you must understand the stance of God when it has to do with parents-children relationship. And please, it is our duty as parents to begin to put this in our children as they grow up, so that they also will be able to do the same to their own children. Absalom wanted to become the next king of Israel. He was colorful enough. He was attractive enough. He had the respect of the people. But he went off course and ended up under a curse. He did it all the wrong way. See, that you are told that your father is a witch and is the reason why you have not had a job 10 years after you graduated. It's not a reason to go home and carry your father on your shoulders and hit him on the ground. Praise God. The Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. Now, the devil is going to keep you a victim when he pushes you out of the spiritual battle and make you to begin to fight physically. Because the devil knows that we don't have any weapon in the physical. All the weapon we have is in the spiritual. So when the devil begins to move you to fight your fight in the physical, he's already making you to be a defeatist from the beginning of the battle. So you understand that. Some children have denied their parents basic provision simply because they were told a vision somewhere. They say, my mother is a witch, especially in-laws. Mother said, daughter-in-laws don't want to see their mother-in-law. She's a witch. No. Witch or witch doesn't stop you from doing what you are supposed to do. Have you not heard that if you have an enemy, you do what? You pray for him. By so doing, you are heaping a coal of fire. What a believer should do, having the understanding of spiritual warfare, is give to your parents what you need to give to them, but bring them under the covering of God. Put it in the hand of God and send to them. Praise God. You make it more complicated when you don't do the things that you ought to do. Many of us will need to get back and make certain things straight. Otherwise, some people may have to continue to go through very patchy roads. Many people will need to go back home with big offerings and settle with their parents. And I said, Mommy, I'm sorry. I didn't get it well. I listened to the testimony of a young woman who would always tell the mother, every time the mother said, I'd like you to settle down in marriage, I'd like you to settle down in marriage. She said, I will. Just allow me to take my time. And the mother said, the way you are going, if you don't listen to what I'm saying, I will not attend your graduation. I will not attend your marriage. And the girl said to the mother, that means you'll be dead already. To her, she thought she was joking. And the mother took that thing to her heart and kept it for years. And the lady said everything turned upside down for her. Everything turned upside down. You see, it is easy when you offend somebody and the person says, you have offended me, than when the person puts it inside. Shuts the doors, the bowel of mercy. Because every child that is going, the mother and the father has something that is coming out from them towards that child. Whether they pray for you or not, they are good wishes for you alone. Praise God. But when a heart is locked as a result of what you did, things can just be so bad and crooked. Until God to know, and went begging the mother and said to the mother, please, I've offended you, forgive me. The mother said, you have not offended me. She begged and begged and asked the father to beg. And when the father begged, the mother finally mentioned that thing. Praise God. She mentioned that thing 20 years after. You know, like Jacob saw what Reuben did and didn't say anything and kept it in his heart until more than 30 years. Jacob now came and told Reuben, for this thing you did, this is the punishment. So, it's important that we relate with our parents very well. I emphasize it every time. Don't have a mother and don't have a father and you don't take care of them as much as you can. Now, some of us, we do it when we are still with them. But as soon as we get married, it's like we said, I now have my own family to face. So you can go to hell. But the truth is that you that is married now will also get to that point where your mother or your father is right now, that is depending on you. You get to that point where you will need to depend on your children. And whatever a man sows, he reaps it. The Bible says, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. A mother will be sick and a child will be sick. Go and meet your mother in the hospital. You say, no, I can't go there. Take care of that. Don't be eating chicken in Port Harcourt and your mother can't afford one dry fish. That's 500. Don't be eating sliced bread in the city and your parents don't have kerosene to put in their lamp. But you can't even stand darkness. As soon as the light goes off, you put on your generator. Praise God. Remember them. Send your parents help. There's nothing as good as father saying to the children, God bless you. Mother saying to the children, God bless you. If your parents are still alive, you are lucky. Because some people didn't know what we are doing now, so they couldn't do anything. But now that you know it, the Bible says, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Praise the Lord.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows. Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling. Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom. Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting. Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.